Acts chapter 1. It's the fifth book in the New Testament. It is the second part of Luke's writing. Luke wrote about Jesus and the church. It was a two-volume work. The book of Luke is the first volume. The book of Acts is the second volume. As far as we know, Luke is the only Gentile writer of the New Testament. He was a companion of the Apostle Paul. And his account of Luke was all that Jesus began to do and to teach. And Acts continues with that. Someone has called it the Acts of the Holy Spirit. But the book of Acts is really the history of the first 30 years of the church. It's the history of the first 30 years of the church. And so what I want you to do is you, at Acts chapter 1, if your Bible has headings, little paragraph headings, you realize they are not inspired. Somebody just put those in. But if yours have heading, I'm going to just run through, and mine may not be exactly like yours, but I just want us to see what's happened from beginning of chapter 1 of Acts through chapter 7, and then we're going to talk about Acts chapter 8. Okay. Everybody with me in chapter 1 of Acts. And Luke introduces it by saying he wrote it to Theophilus. We have in Acts, beginning in verse Acts 1:9, the ascension of Jesus, that he ascended back to the Father. This was after the resurrection, after he'd spent 40 days with the disciples teaching them things that they could not understand before that. And then he ascended back to the Father. Then in chapter, beginning with verse 12, the apostles chose a replacement for Judas. Some of us debate whether they should have done that or not, whether they had the right to do that or not. Jesus said, stay right here, don't do anything, wait for the coming of the power from on high. And they decided to select a replacement for Judas. And the Bible students debate whether they should have done that or which they shouldn't have done that. But anyway, they chose Matthias. Acts chapter 2 is the birthday of the church. It was the day of Pentecost for the Jews, a very special celebration. And the Apostle Peter preached the first gospel sermon. What I mean by that, it was the first sermon that included the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. And about 3,000 people became Christians. I jokingly say they woke up good Jews that morning and went to bed good Christians that night. 3,000 people were baptized in one day. Verse 42 that we talked about a week or two ago, they were continually devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. And then at the end of chapter 2, the Christians shared with one another. They sold some of their possessions and helped those Christians who were poor or had needs. Then chapter 3, we have the healing of the lame beggar. Peter and John heal the gate to the temple. And then Peter preached his second sermon. And we hardly ever talk about Peter's second sermon. His first sermon in Acts chapter 2 had 3,000 people respond. The second sermon, it doesn't tell us what the response was, so we're not sure exactly what happened as a result of that. Chapter 4 of Acts, we have Peter and John arrested. They arrested because they were preaching Christ. Now, this is the normal way that you deal with uprisings, is you take care of the leaders, right? You get rid of the leaders. So they arrested Peter and John, and they threatened them and released them. Then again, at the end of chapter 4, you have them sharing, again, another account of them sharing together with other Christians, fellowship. They were sharing of their material possessions to help those who were poor and in need. Then chapter 5, we have the first internal problem in the church. And we'd had persecution from the outside in chapter 4. They arrested the apostles. They arrested the leaders. But in chapter 5, we have an internal problem in that Christians were selling their possessions and giving it to the church, and the apostles were dividing it to those who had needs. A couple by the name of Ananias and Sapphira sold their property, and they lied about how much they were giving. In other words, they sold their property, gave part of what they got out of it, and claimed they were giving it all. And if I understand that scripture right, They didn't have to sell it. Nobody required them to sell it. It was not communism in which they had to get rid of their property and give it to everybody. It was a free will choice. They made the decision themselves. And even after they sold it, if I understand it correctly, they could have given part of it to the church and kept part of it. It was all up to them. The problem was that they gave part of it to the church and claimed that they gave it all to the church. And God did something dramatic. What did he do? He struck them dead. That'll shake up your church, won't it? And I always joke whenever I mention dispatches, and because I don't joke very often, not very good joke teller. Usually when I tell a joke, somebody misunderstands me and get upset. But anyway, I joke about the fact that the story of Ananias and Sapphira. Ananias, who was the husband, came in and reported what they claimed we gave it all to the church, and it struck him dead. God struck him dead. They carried him out and buried him. 3 hours later, his wife came in. And my joke is, the wife was late to church. But 3 hours later, she came in, and they asked her about it. She told the same story. God struck her dead, and they buried her beside her husband. Then in the end of chapter 5, we have, beginning in verse 17, we have the apostles imprisoned again, put in jail because they were preaching the gospel. And Acts 5:29 says, "But Peter and the apostles answered, 'We must obey God rather than men,' because they told them to stop preaching." So we have outside persecution in chapter 4. We have outside persecution in chapter 5. Then we get to chapter 6, and we got another internal problem. So the church has had problems from day one. They kind of started out in a problem. We got through chapters 2 and 3 without a problem, but when we got to 4, we had persecution from the outside. Chapter 5, we got persecution from the outside. Chapter 6, we got a problem within the church because they were taking this money that these people were given, the church member was given, and feeding the poor widows. And some of the widows were being left out. And guess what happens when somebody gets left out? They got to complain. And so they got to complaining and griping. And the apostles call the church together and said, "Select from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom I may put in charge of this task." And so they put them in charge of it. They put them in charge of taking care of the widows. That solved the problem. And in 6-7, the summary is that the church continued to grow. In other words, you got a problem, you solved the problem, the church continued to grow. That's what happened in chapter 6. The last part of chapter 6 and all of chapter 7, we have Stephen, who's one of the deacons, preaching in the New Testament. Preaching always caused a stir. Sometime it was good, sometime it was bad, but something always happened when somebody preached, okay? That's not true today, but the only thing that happened today when we preached, somebody go to sleep. But in those days, something always happened. And the result of Stephen's sermon is that he was stoned to death. They killed him. And he was preaching to his own group, I think, the people that he liked. The people of his group. He was trying to convert those Jews, and as a result, they stoned him to death. He became the first Christian martyr. So now we get to chapter 8. Saul, who we would know as Paul later, but now he was a Pharisee, and he was very active anti-church, anti-Christian. When God converts you, a lot of things changes about you, but a lot of things don't change. If you are all wound up, involved totally in what you're doing, like Saul was, I mean, he was 100% involved. He needed to get rid of these Christians. And he was on fire for doing that. Once he was converted, what happened to him? He was on fire for the Lord then. So there are a lot of things that do change when you become a Christian. There are a lot of things that don't change. But Saul was in hearty agreement with putting him to death. I assume from that that Saul did not throw him into the rocks. He did not stone him. They laid the garments at Saul's feet. He took care of the coats of those who did throw the stones. And he was in favor of it. He was not opposed to it. But I don't think he actually stoned him. And I don't think Saul ever got over this. I've heard Chuck say this two or three times. I don't think he ever got over the fact that he, although he didn't actually stone him, he approved of the stoning of Stephen. So he was in hearty agreement. And on that day, a great persecution, everybody with me, 8:1? A great persecution began against the church in Jerusalem. And Saul was involved in this, we're going to see in just a second. He was involved in persecuting the church because he thought, and he was sincere, according to his later records, he was sincere. He really believed he was doing what God wanted him to do. Sincerity is not always a test of truth. He was sincere. Great persecution ran against the church. They were all scattered through the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. In chapters 4 and 5, we have the persecution against the leaders of the church, the apostles. That didn't seem to work. We can't get the leaders to stop leading, so let's run the followers out of town. That'll fix them. You know, if you're preaching the empty pews, it doesn't do much good, right? You know, so they got rid of everybody was running out of town except the apostles. And I used to wonder, well, why would everybody leave town except the apostles? And I think it was because at this point the persecution was against everybody except the apostles. They tried to persecute the apostles, it didn't work. So let's get rid of the followers. And so they ran them all out of town. And the really strange thing here is they were scattered from Jerusalem to Judea and Samaria. And according to Acts 1:8, that's where they were supposed to go anywhere. So we see God wanted them to preach the gospel in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the world. They kind of hung out at Jerusalem. So they can debate about God's sovereignty and man's free will and all that kind of stuff. But the fact is, those people persecuting the church caused the church to do what God wanted them to do to start with. What they already should have been doing was to go to Judea and Samaria. Everybody except the apostles. Some devout men buried Stephen and made loud lamentation over him. I don't know whether those devout men were devout Jews or devout Christians. I don't know that. I know they were devout men, but I don't know which they were. My first impression was they were Christians. But all the Christians were under town. So it may have been Jews that knew him and liked him or whatever. But somebody, they buried him and made loud lamentations over him. But Saul began ravaging the church, entering house after house and dragging off men and women. He would put them in prison. He was serious about this business. We got to wipe out the church. We got to wipe out the church. We got to get rid of them. So he arrested those people and put them in jail. Those that didn't get caught and put in jail left town. Now think about that. We just read that story and don't think about what would happen if you were run out of town? How about where I live? Right? How about how I make a living? I mean, if you run me out of town, most of the time my job's back there somewhere, right? I guess I could have kept sheep and I carried my sheep with me, I guess. But generally speaking, I had to leave my home and my livelihood. They were running out of town because they were Christians. I probably would have concluded, well, that's not too. If I done lost my home and my job because I'm a Christian, I better give up on this deal. That's not too good a place to be. And yet, that's not what happened. Therefore, those who had been scattered went about, tell me, preaching the word. And I have always been, I always wanted to find a concise, quick way to say this. Don't it sound really smart? But I never could do it. They ran everybody out of town, but the preachers and those that ran out of town went preaching. Right? They ran everybody out of town, but the preachers. And yet the ones that ran out of town went preaching. They were preaching the word. They were evangelizing. Philip. Now this is Philip the deacon, not Philip the apostle. There was a Philip apostle. This is not Philip the apostle. Philip the apostle was still in Jerusalem. This is Philip the deacon. So look back at chapter 6, verse 3, and figure out a little bit about him. This is what we know about him. Therefore, brethren, select from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we may put in charge of this task. So we know he was among the Christians. That means he was a Christian, right? Called the church together and said, select from among you. So he was a Christian. He had a good reputation. He was full of the Spirit, and he was full of wisdom. But he was selected to be a deacon in the church in Jerusalem, which means he was going to feed the widows. But he was run out of town. So that job ended. Not only did he lose his home and his job to make a living, he lost his job in the church. Because he was gone. He wasn't there. He can't feed widows in the Jerusalem church when he's not in Jerusalem. So Philip went down to the city of Samaria, or a city of Samaria, but anyway, whichever one it was. Said in verse 4, they went everywhere preaching the word. What does it say in verse 5? Philip, what did Philip do? Proclaim Christ to them. This is the word for preaching. The word up above is the word for evangelizing. This is the word for preaching. So they were preaching the word. They were evangelizing. He was presenting Christ to them. He was presenting the Christ that had caused him all his trouble. Right? The reason he was being run out of town, because he believed in Jesus. But he was going everywhere preaching about Jesus. He went to the city of Samaria. The crowds with one accord were giving attention to what was said by Philip, as they heard and saw the signs which he was performing. For in the case of many who had unclean spirits, and they were coming out of them, shouting with a loud voice, and many who had been paralyzed and lame were healed. So there was much rejoicing in the city. Philip could perform miracles. Philip, the deacon, could perform miracles. Now we're going to talk next week about the fact that he could perform miracles, but he couldn't pass that on to somebody else. And that's next week's sermon. Don't miss it. I just hate it when the weatherman comes on and said, I'm going to tell you the weather in a few minutes. Why don't he just tell me the weather when he's there? I mean, I'm fixing to go to bed. It's 11 o'clock. No, I'm going to tell you the weather in a few minutes. But anyway, come back next week for that part. Come back next week for that part of the sermon about Philip being able to perform miracles but not pass that on to others. Verse 9, there was a man named Simon who formerly were practicing magic in the city and astonishing the people of Samaria, claiming to be someone great. And they all, from the smallest to the greatest, were giving attention to him, saying, this man is what is called the great power of God. And they were giving him attention because he had for a long time astonished them with his magic arts. So they thought he was a person from God, and he had somewhat proved it, right? He was performing miracles. And Scripture does describe it as magic. It wasn't really miracles. But the people who saw him do it couldn't tell the difference. Seemed like miracles to them. He was performing magic. And he had a great following. They were listening to him. Now, this is kind of in reverse, kind of backwards, but the fact is, everything God does, Satan counterfeits. Everything God does, Satan counterfeits. You know, it would be nice to just say, if anybody can perform a miracle, then I know he's from God. But this fellow, Simon, was able to fool them. They thought he was a great power of God because he could perform magical acts. So you have to be careful who you follow, even though there's evidence, it seems like the real evidence. They listened to Philip. Why did they listen to Philip? Because he could perform miracles. He made people well that were sick. That was one of the reasons they listened to him. But this guy could perform magic, and they had been listening to him. But verse 12. But when they believed Philip's preaching, the good news about the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were being baptized, men and women alike. Now look back up at verse 4 and verse 5 and all those. And we have the deacons run out of town, all these Christians run out of town. Philip went to Samaria. The ones run out of town was preaching the word. He went preaching Christ, right? Verse 5 or so. Now we say he's preaching about the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ. So these are descriptive titles of what he was talking about. All centered around Jesus. all centered around Jesus. He was preaching Jesus. He was trying to get people to accept Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And as a result of that, what happened? They believed and were baptized. That's what happened in the New Testament. The person accepted the message. They were believed. They believed and they were baptized. That's what happened. They believed and they were baptized. Now, I believe baptism is immersion. And I believe believing is the same thing as faith. They put their faith in Jesus Christ. They trusted him. They believed what Philip said about him. They believed the story of the gospel that he died on the cross for them. They accepted him as their personal Savior and they were baptized. Who was baptized, according to verse 12, last part? Who was? Men and women. Doesn't mention children. Men and women. In New Testament days, Jews who accepted, who were Jews, became grown at what age? Tell me. 12. And so anybody over 12 was considered man or woman. So men and women, no children. They were accepting the message. They accepted the message of Philip. They responded. They believed the message. They trusted Jesus Christ, and they were baptized. The church is supposed to do that from now on. When I went to Bible college, I preached for about 7 years before I went to Bible college. And probably was a better preacher then than I am now. But anyway, somebody say, that ain't saying much. But anyway, I probably was a better preacher then than I am now. But I had a good sermon about the Great Commission. There was 4 points. You go, you make disciples, you baptize, and you teach. That's a good sermon. Matthew chapter 28, 19 and 20. 4 points. I get to Bible college and they say there's only one command in that passage. I said, what? The going part is incidental. The going part is incidental? Yeah, the going part is incidental. What you need to do is make disciples. You make disciples as you go. In the process of making disciples, you baptize them and teach them. But the main thing you're doing is making disciples. Matthew 28, 19. You're making disciples. So here we have Philip run out of town because he was a Christian. And as he went, what did he do? Made disciples. Right? That's exactly what he was supposed to be doing. Making disciples. And that's exactly what we're supposed to be doing. Making disciples. The tragedy is we get hung up on maintaining the fish tank. You and me both. We get hung up on taking care of the church. And we're supposed to be making disciples. We're supposed to be going preaching the word. We're supposed to be going evangelizing. We're going, supposed to be going to talking to people about the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ. That's what we should be doing. Evangelism in action. They didn't go because they wanted to go. They didn't even go because they were commanded to go. And I think they had been, but they didn't go because they were commanded to go. Why'd they go? They were forced to. They didn't have any choice. But as they went, they made disciples. They talked about Jesus. And people who believed that put their trust in Jesus Christ and was baptized. Acts chapter 8, great, great chapter. And that's what I like to do for the next few months is pick out chapters I love and we talk about it. And for the next few weeks, we're going to talk about Acts chapter 8. But the first 12 verses kind of gives a good summary. No matter what's going on in your life, good, bad, make a difference. You don't have to be a preacher to preach. You don't have to be ordained to be able to tell somebody about Jesus. And we ought to tell them about Jesus everywhere we go. We don't, but we ought to. Those who had received his word Those who believe what he said were baptized, men and women alike.